Okay, I think what we're gonna have to do is, unless we get an OBS person on here to tell me how to fix it, we're gonna have to go without a video today, which is gonna be just fine because we did that last week. And we are simply just going to have to make do with that. And that's fine because it's still gonna be an amazing show. Let me just pull up some recording software then because I wanna make sure we at least get the show recorded. If we're not doing it that way, we're gonna do it this way. I'll just use Audacity and we'll post it later on. So I'll do my little intro and then make sure you guys go gather the troops because we wanna get some peeps in here. Okay, hang on a second. Almost ready. Okay, welcome everyone to Crypto Queen episode number 6. This is where it's all happening. We've got people from all over the world tuning in today. So I just want to say good everything, everyone, instead of morning, noon, and night. This is Little Scribe with Crypto Queen, the Crypto Queen show. We are mainstreaming all things crypto for the masses. And today we will be discussing some of the, well, we're basically going to be discussing overcoming some of the hurdles with adopting mass adoption of cryptocurrency. And on our show today, we have Daniel Goldman, the CEO and founder of Ternio, the Ternio blockchain. Which has, we'll discuss because I have to make sure I don't say this wrong, but are you also the CEO and founder of BlockCard, or is this a merger of sorts? I think we've lost sound on you, Daniel. We'll give you a minute to get that sorted out. But in the meantime, let's just get the deets. You guys, we have an amazing show today. I think we kind of lost sound on Daniel. We had it perfectly.
Is this better?
Yeah, that is better. Perfect.
Oh gosh. Hi.
Hi.
So good to be here. So yeah, Ternio is the company and BlockCard is the product. So if you go to Ternio.io,
Okay.
you'll see we're promoting BlockCard. We're an enterprise blockchain company and we deal in all parts blockchain, but the thing that we've found really needs to be solved is that sort of interconnection, interoperability between traditional banking payment systems and the crypto blockchain technology. And that's something that is lacking right now.
Okay, perfect. So essentially, you guys, I may use Ternio and BlockCard interchangeably today because, as we just figured out, Ternio is the name of the company, BlockCard is the product. Sometimes I slip up and I say BlockCard's the company, but it's the product. And it sounds like you're probably going to be coming out with more than just one product. And we'll get into that in a minute. I see everybody hopping on. Welcome, welcome to everyone. Jack, Blue, Hive, Qua, Killaby Kill, Monos, The Hive, and this guy. Make sure you guys all go share and invite everyone to this show, especially today of all days, because we have one of the most interesting topics that I am super excited to explore. And this is because you guys know how it is, okay? We're talking about mass adoption of cryptocurrency. This has been a subject for 10 years at least. Mass adoption of cryptocurrency. The reason that we're having problems with this, among other things, is because of the ease of use issue. We go to our, I'm gonna just, I mean, we're gonna start out right out. We're just gonna start right off and talk about my favorite thing to do, which is when I go to my crypto wallet, my Coinbase account, and I want to pull out some of that coin. Like, let's say I have, an entire Bitcoin sitting in my wallet, and I just want to cash out on some of that. First of all, well, actually, no. Let's back that up. Let's say I just earned $20 on my show today. When I post this show, right now it's at like $23, right? Let's say that in a week's time, I want to cash out on that. I want to transfer that HIVE, that HBD. I want to transfer it to my Coinbase account. I'm going to have to convert it to, say, I usually do Ethereum because that one's like a 15-second turnaround on their blockchain, which means I'm going to get it within a couple of days, considering how many people are also doing turnarounds on that chain. So let's say I want to turn in, let's I'm going to do some HBD and I want to convert it into, yes, we've got the gas fees. So firstly, we want to convert our HIVE into something that is more commonly used so that we can convert that into, for me, what would be USD, US dollar. I just want to get this into my bank account, guys. It's going to take me converting HIVE into Ethereum and converting Ethereum into USD and then transferring my USD into my bank account. We're talking a matter of days. Like, we're talking like 5 business days. On top of that, you've got to pay the gas up and down. I have to pay the gas on converting HIVE to Ethereum. I've got to pay the gas on converting Ethereum to USD. And in some instances, I'm going to have to pay conversion rates and/or gas rates to convert from USD putting into my bank account, to say nothing of the 5 to 7 days it's going to take to get there. So, like, if I want to buy a cup of coffee, I'm going to have to stand at that counter for 7 days. Sorry, guys, my Ethereum hasn't transferred yet. We'll just be a minute. We're just going to be a minute. Okay, so this is why for many it is such a pain in the arse to use cryptocurrency. Currently, the only blokes that are on this space are doing it for maybe two reasons. Number one, because they're hedge fund managers and they're just, it's another currency. It's just another way to make money, and it's another way to speculate. That's one reason. Number two, because of the enthusiasm of the cryptocurrency in itself and the blockchain. And they are not mutually exclusive, but a lot of us are just here because it's kind of cool. It's a new thing, it's a new technology, and we're gonna do amazing with it. So, but we're sitting going, okay, when are we gonna be able to take this and buy like diapers for my kid? Why can't I just walk in the store and be like, I'd like a gallon of milk. So why we have Daniel Goldman here today with us is because he and his company Turnio have overcome this hurdle. And I am not exaggerating when I say they have overcome this hurdle, because up until now, and I mean, you guys have been around since like 2017, 2018, but up until now, most anybody had to get their crypto doing huge jumps, huge hoops, jumping through hurdles and hoops to get their money into whatever fiat that they needed to buy, whatever they needed to buy, or live in select countries across Europe where only select stores would support BTC or Ether, right? So here, Daniel comes along, or Turnio comes along, and says, "Hey guys, why don't we figure this out?" So my first question to you is this: How did you convince Visa to support this, or was that necessary? Is it really just a matter of coding and then converting? And Visa doesn't care. They're just like, you do a KYC action and we'll take it. We don't really care. How did that work for you guys?
Yeah, so it was a long journey, and I'll tell you that it's really the bank. In order for you to do a Visa program, you have to have a card issuer. The card issuer is usually almost exclusively a bank. And the bank is the one that's ultimately responsible for any of the regulatory relationships. So the government's going to say, listen, if you want to have a Visa card, then someone's accountable. The bank is ultimately accountable.
Right.
We're accountable too, but the bank is ultimately accountable. Visa has had problems in Europe. There were people who there was the entire I forget Wavecrest. Y'all remember when Wavecrest went down? Like that was a massive problem because what was happening was when you're doing card issuance, they're only approved for a certain region or country. So, for example, we do card issuance with USA and USA residents. We can't do it for Canada or Mexico presently. There were people who were go ahead.
Presently, but we'll hopefully be able to move that forward in a minute.
Right. And, we already been approved by a bank in Europe to do a European card in 31 countries. But
okay,
there were companies doing it in Europe that were only approved for Europe, and they were issuing globally. That was a huge problem.
Oh, yeah, that is a problem because as I understand it, if you the banks, the reason that they're able to answer, honestly, is because they're FDIC insured, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. I mean, if you're going to do transactions with a bank and have them be federally backed, it's because they have a Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation backing. So
that's true. And that because of that backing, they're also regulated by the FDIC
right. To
make sure that there's a lot of compliance stuff, AML, there's things around just consumer protections. So it was a big deal. To answer your question, it was a huge deal. It was not easy. There's only a handful of companies that are doing it right now in the U.S., a handful are doing it in Europe. But it is becoming more prevalent. And I can tell you that my conversations with Visa, they very much see and understand the role of cryptocurrencies in the future. Like, they understand that this is where everything is headed, and they see this as basically being digital cash. I think they're very, like, forward-thinking organization. And unlike so many banks, they're actually very much getting behind it. And they see that there's a big transformational thing happening with blockchain and cryptocurrencies that a lot of people sort of don't understand.
This is huge. This is a huge partnership you basically formed with Visa, not because of an FDIC, like an insurance issue, but because they personally ultimately saw the value in it.
They do see the value in it, but really it just comes down to the use case matters. Not everybody's going to be engaging in Bitcoin. Not everybody's going to be engaging in the Hive token or what we have is our Churn token. It really depends on the use case, and I think ultimately many things will involve what we think of as crypto. But also, I think probably the majority in the future will basically be digital dollars, and that will be good because it'll be instantly, frictionlessly convertible from your favorite altcoin into digital cash. And wouldn't it be great if that digital cash was easy to basically utilize to pay your bills anywhere you want? That's kind of what we think is the future.
So right now, let's discuss that for just a hot minute. So right now, the card, it's called Block Card. And
if
anyone needs, I need to get the link. Okay, if anyone wants to go to my page, the Little Scribe page in my recent post, pull from that page. I do have a consumer coded page. So if you guys, I mean, it's early in this conversation. You don't have to go signing up right this second, but I just want to make it available to you. There's a promo code so that Block Card can keep track of Hive. And if you're on Steam, Hive and Hive users. So if you ever do register with their company, they'll know that it's with Hive. And the reason for that, and we'll get into in a little bit. But let's talk about Visa applicability. So you're talking about right now how we are available. Thank you. Thank you, Kwa. We are available in the US. We meaning crypto card. Block Card is available to use anywhere in the US that accepts Visa. So if I were to take this to, say, Germany and be like, I want to buy me some Lederhosen or Bratwurst, and they accept Visa, could I use it there?
Absolutely. So any American resident who's approved for the card, you don't have to be an American citizen, but you're an American resident, we're allowed legally to issue those to people in the U.S. If you now travel around the world, anywhere in the world except Visa, it'll be accepted. That includes international ATMs.
Okay, so I have to be a resident or a citizen of the U.S. That's the agreement you have with Visa, but you are expanding to Europe soon?
So, yes, we've been approved by a bank in Europe, and then we'll be issuing, it looks like, a MasterCard, but we're working through a last-minute sort of curveball that we got with MasterCard. But other than that, we've been approved by the bank, and most of the challenge is really getting approved through the bank. That's the hardest part.
Okay.
It's an incredible amount of due diligence that they do to make sure that our program is, you know, going to be consistent with law, and make sure that people behind the company are, you know, honest, legitimate, and all of that.
I have so many questions running through my mind. This guy, it wants to know about KYC. We will get to that. Ashby, good on ya for signing up. Hive Qua can see the cannabis industry using this. Yes, we will get to that as well. And if I forget, please nudge me. On the European thing. So you found a bank. It sounds like you're not naming the bank. I don't know if that's deliberate because you're not under contract yet, but you find this bank in Europe that sounds like it's a European bank rather than one country in Europe. So it's going to be fairly applicable anywhere in Europe, I'm hoping. When that happens, like, first of all, like, super kudos to you, Daniel, because I am blown away by your tenacity with these banks. Like, I cannot understand what it must have taken for you to get even in the door, let alone heard. I cannot even imagine, which that, I mean, that in itself is a show, separate show. But
it's a lot. It's definitely a lot.
You must really have believed in your product. They must have seen the value, and this mass adoption that's about to occur across the world, like, what? This is, are we going to be able to look back on this day and be like, oh yeah, totes because of Daniel Goldman? Like, I sort of feel, I'm feeling kind of goosebumply right now. So,
let's just say it's definitely not Daniel Goldman, like the one person. There is a whole team of people. We've got, I think, like 18 people. My co-founder Ian, who he and I, you know, we put in the same amount of sweat equity and effort for 2 years. We didn't take on a salary, and we have an amazing team of people that are just really amazing. So it really isn't just like, you know, did I do my part? Yes, I think I've done my part. But to be honest, you really can't have a successful company based upon any one person. It really does take a lot of amazing because
if you had just marched in there and been like, hi, I'm a one-man band, but it's going to be amazing, they wouldn't have taken you seriously. So you had a great team.
Even if they did, I mean, I'm not a technical co-founder. Ian's not a technical co-founder. We really had to hire great technical people. And so without those software engineers, those genius developers that, yes, we put in a lot of effort around. There's a lot of things that each one of us individually contribute, but it takes a village, you know, and that's the truth.
Well, and by the way, sidebar, a little bit of a tangential here. I know that a lot of guys and gals on this space in Hive are, I mean, we have like 80% dev here. So I don't know if the Turnio or Block Card is looking for new help. It's probably you're good where you're at, but if you're looking for new help, let us know where to go to find career opportunities, whether paid or not. If there's anything, you can maybe point us in that direction. But getting back to the Europe discussion, what I wanted to know is, will they be on the same card? Will you be able to facilitate it so that it's all just one card, one company, one product, or are you gonna have to make a new card for our friends in Europe?
Well, the way that works is it's a seamless, there's one app. So we're actually building out an iOS and Android app. Today we have a very mobile-friendly website. And we intentionally did that because it allows us to focus on these amazing products we have coming. So you go to getblockcard.com, you sign up, you'll basically have a bank account, which you can log into. You'll be given an actual literal bank account, plus a debit card. You can fund with crypto, instantly start spending anywhere. Visa's accepted as an American, tap it into Google and Apple Pay. Now in Europe, they'll see in same exact process, they might see a MasterCard, it'll be the exact same Block Card, but in their side, it will be like, oh, they're from France. Okay, give them this MasterCard from this bank. So from their point of view, it's not going to matter.
So it'll
it's
just
all
going to
be integrated into the same website.
So this brings us to the KYC process. One of the reasons for, and by KYC, I actually don't know the prolonged, that's the shortened version for essentially.
Know your customer.
Yes. Okay. Know your customer. That's right. So the KYC process basically just means that we've got to do a identification check. And on this, it looks like you posted that you can email ann@turnio.io for dev opportunities. We'll get to that in a second. So on the KYC process, you guys, we've had some scrutiny here. Not even scrutiny, just the typical wah-wah that you're going to get with KYC. Nobody wants to do KYC, but guess what? Guess what, you guys? You did KYC when you opened that you know, Bitcoin wallet of yours. And they want a picture of you, and they want to, like, sample from what you ate this morning. So what goes into your KYC?
Well, see, that's the thing I'll tell you. Look, I mean, I'm very straightforward, guys. So I'll say, like, and I'm, you know, try to, like, laugh and joke and be cool. But what about my Blockbuster card? I used to work at Blockbuster for 10 years.
Is that going to work for you?
this guy, I can talk about that all day long. But anyway, going back to KYC, that was my bet. Look, anybody that doesn't want to do KYC, like, you're going to have to be in the real world, okay? The reason you have to understand that if you want something to actually be taken seriously and you want, like, mass adoption, there is zero chance of having a company,
a viable
fintech company, that is going to be able to do a product without KYC. There's zero chance. It's not happening. Yeah, you might be able to do Bitcoin from person to person. Maybe you send them the Bitcoin and an hour they get it late, you know, an hour later they get it or something. But you're not going to see merchants start accepting it without KYC. Maybe you'll see something like a digital cash option, you know, at some level. But then you have it, issues around AML. So I'll just say, like, it's really hard. And so the way we built it was we want to make it as consumer friendly as possible. 85% of people get approved. Like, it's a 5-minute process from start to finish, and you're approved. You have a card instantly on your phone. And so you put in your date of birth, your social. Yes, it's sensitive information, but we don't save it. Date of birth, social, and then your driver's license or passport. It's all done through an eKYC process. You type it in. You don't have to take any pictures of yourself. And if it's approved, then you're good to go. If it's not approved, then we might have to go through a manual process. So
yeah, because I don't recall when I registered, I don't recall using any kind of picture ID. Am I right about that?
You don't have to send a copy of your driver's license or a picture, because we try to make it as simple as possible. Now, for the bank account, we actually are required to do that. So we're actually issuing bank accounts now. So you'll have not only a debit card, but a bank account where you can actually literally instantly get access to a FDIC insured bank account. You can buy and sell cryptocurrency. But because of the regulations involved, as you can imagine,
yeah,
we have to go through that process.
Okay, so the bank account is just kind of an added product to this product line for the purpose of this discussion, and we'll definitely talk about the bank account as well, which is an additional option with a few more features. But as far as this discussion is concerned, if I wanted to put my cryptocurrency on the card and then take it to Walmart, I don't need to open a bank account. I can just open a basic.
That's right. Okay. That's right. So they're like HiveQA said that they're separate services. Number one, BlockCard is the, we think BlockCard is an entire wallet. Like, we're adding in a decentralized wallet. So if you want to have your own decentralized wallet, great. If you want to have a card, it has to be through a custody solution. You can send, if you want to send $1,000, well, then you'll send it to your card. It automatically converts to Tern. That's our token. It's based on the Stellar blockchain, so it's made for payments. It's 2 seconds. You can send it anywhere in the world. It's very, very, very fast, and there's no gas fees because it's a proof of stake blockchain. And then now you can start spending those tokens anywhere Visa is accepted. It works really smooth. It's not perfect, but the feedback we've gotten is that, you know, our technology is like light years ahead of everybody else right now. And we're adding in all of these different features that you're going to be able to kind of connect to different systems.
So we've talked about gas fees and we've talked about being seamless and feeless. But if that were the case, like, how are you going to make any money? You guys are going to be basically operating for free. I mean, any exchange, everybody knows any exchange has got to have some way to make money. You got to have some way to pay the devs. So
yeah.
I'm assuming you have at least a basic nominal maintenance fee, right?
Well, that's right. So I like a Square deal. I think if you look at, like, some of the other solutions that are out there, like, let's say a Coinbase or a BitPay or some of the other guys, they're doing what's called like a deposit fee. And that sort of runs counter to what I believe in. I've had people, here's how we charge people. We say, look, to get the block card, it's $5 a month. We've had people go, oh, $5 a month. What the hell? I'm like, dude, like, I spend $5 a month. I spend $5 in one cup of coffee. So if somebody's complaining for five, now I understand if you're in the Philippines or if somebody's in India or certain parts of the world, like, $5 a month could be a lot. It could be. But if you're in the United States, which is all we can today offer for U.S. resident for a card, and they're complaining about $5. I think that's like the Netflix month, right? Like, I think that's a fair deal for an entire month. And by the way, we waive that $5 if you spend $7.50 a month. And the reason we can do that, because we make money also from the merchant. So when the merchants, when you swipe that card, merchants actually pay 2-3% for the swipe. So we actually get some of that money from Visa in the payment processor. So we say, okay, if you're going to spend $7.50, then we won't charge you anything, and then we'll just recoup money from, you know, from Visa. That's how we make
$7.50.
$750.
Okay.
So our presumption is, like, if you're going to spend $750, which is, you know, it's a lot of money, but not, we have people who are using it to pay their bills, and they're paying for everything.
Oh my gosh, that was so cool. Yeah, because that's what I was thinking too, is, wait a minute, anywhere that accepts Visa is pretty much everywhere. Now, again, I don't want to isolate the listeners here who do not have residency or citizenship in the U.S. What I want this to be is something where you see the utility in this card. If you have any way of getting this word out there to those who currently have residency or citizenship in the U.S., then it employs a greater need. And currently, if you're just tuning in, currently Ternio is actually working on a partnership with a major bank in Europe. And what that means is that we're going to have the exact same availability to you. And how do you, can you give us an idea how long we're looking at? Like, what's the timeline on that?
Okay, well, we're working very hard on, it's a lot, but we're working hard on trying to provide some global options. We have a couple of different things we think that can do it, but it does take time to build that kind of like architecture to go, okay, we've got U.S. and Europe, and we want to be in Latin America, and we want to be in, South Africa, and this, that, and, you know, all these different places around the world. We're really working hard at that. It's hard to do it holistically, but we're definitely trying our best. I hope that answers your question.
So this guy says, wait a minute, $5 a month is the only, in caps, only fee?
I'm glad you brought that up, because I wanted to respond to this guy. So it's not the only fee, and if you look at our FAQs, we actually have a list of them, but it's really the most of the fees. So like $5 a month, and the reason why, we wish we had a much more, like, there weren't other fees, but the bank won't let us, because we are connected to the bank, and there are certain fees that are basically required. I mean, it's just the reality. So we're trying to, like, do this delicate dance between getting people to get into crypto adoption, connecting them to the traditional services. Eventually, all of those sort of miscellaneous fees go away. But here's what those are. You have $5 a month. That's waived after $7.50. If you use your PIN number, then there's like $1, because people can get money at the store. If you go to an ATM, you're paying an ATM fee, which is pretty traditional. So it's like $3 for a domestic or $3.50 for international. But the vast, vast, vast majority of the fees are really minimal, in my opinion. But like someone's saying here, I have QA. It takes us having it, we think, and I think this is proving out, the more people we have involved in the program, the more leverage we have with the bank to say, look, like, we brought the revolution with us, and now we want to change the dynamic around what customers pay. And we think that people will be more, the banks are more willing to support that, because all they really care about is, at some level, having a solid base of customers.
Yeah.
You see that there's a lot of people behind it. There's a lot of flexibility there. But when we launched this, remember, we didn't have here's 100,000 people with us. It's literally like, here's the dream. This is what we're doing. Believe in that we can do it. And here's our money. And that's what it took. And we've been able to, luckily, we've proven that, like, people love it. And we've got some really cool stuff.
Well, and two quick things is, $5 a month, I mean, I'm paying a $6 service fee to my current FDIC bank that does nothing for me but just sit and, like, with their thumb up their butt all month. I mean, I'm not running $1 million transactions, so maybe if I were, that would be worth it. But yeah, I mean, I'm paying $6 a month for my bank. Who isn't paying a service fee? And as far as using the transaction, one quick question, then Ashby wants to talk about, are we going to add Hive? So let me ask another question. And Hive, by the way, just as a quick little short answer, is we're talking about the more people we get involved, the better case it is for the banking fees on the banking end. And also, the more people who sign up for this block card product from Hive, the closer we get to listing on your exchange. So we will talk about that. But what I wanted to discuss was, is how this issue of, you know, we put the money onto the card. If I have that $5 basic maintenance fee that any bank would have, and you're not necessarily banking, but if I have that $5 fee, what happens exactly? I put my cryptocurrency on the card. It converts into Ternio, which I understand is how you're able to keep that stable price. Am I correct? Because you're backed with US dollar.
So let me explain that. So this is a good question because it ties into what this guy is typing as well. So what happens is, well, first of all, remember, we started with an ICO. We filed a Reg D with the SEC. We issued our own token. We, you know, people believed in us, and we said, look, this is what we're going to do with the money. And one of those things was the people who believed in us, we said, we're going to have the block card built off of the Tern token. And unlike so many other companies that did these ICOs and they didn't amount to anything, they didn't deliver anything, they're just gone. And we were around. And so we not only were around, we're thriving and we're growing. And so the bottom line is we promised that, and we think that that actually has significant opportunities for people, because now that, let's say, you've deposited Bitcoin, well, now you're on an XLM-based token. So an XLM-based token, Stellar, is faster and cheaper than most blockchains because it's a proof-of-stake blockchain. So we give them Tern tokens. Tern is not a stable token, okay? So Tern, what we're effectively doing is we're taking that Bitcoin and buying more Tern. So we're actually creating upward price pressure on the token, because although we being that we filed with the SEC, really don't talk about the price of Tern.
So is Tern a security then?
Is well, every cryptocurrency is considered a security minus maybe a Bitcoin or maybe ETH.
And, so you're buying up Tern with whatever coin people bring into the platform. You're buying up Tern, which then increases the value of Tern, which gives you better ability to regulate that price.
Well, here's what I'd say is it's supply demand effect. So what happens is people are, this is one of the unique things about it. So you're, every time you spend the token, you're selling it. And every time you deposit, you know, crypto into it or deposit money, you're doing a buy order. So it's this sort of market economics.
Right.
And what we found is that more or less, sometimes it goes up. I mean, it goes up and goes down. It goes up and goes down every day. But more or less, if you pay attention to it, you can see that what you put in is what you get out. And if people are not paying attention to that, then they could spend it down. And that does happen. But we also see people picking it back up at a higher amount too. It just really depends on their ability to pay attention.
Well, I just want to make sure that when I put something in, it's going to be locked in at that price that was the value. Like if I were to put in a certain amount of Ether and it was valued at a certain price for USD, is that going to be locked in, or what are we looking at? I mean, how do I?
It's not a stable value. So it's not like think of it like this. Imagine if people went from ETH to Hive, as an example, ETH to Hive. And now they're sitting in the Hive token. So now it's whatever the value of Hive is what they're effectively spending it at.
So it's not necessarily a card that I might use to hold, although I could. It is an exchange. However,
people do it. People do hold.
They can hold. And it's just like if you want to try any exchange, you can hold. The value is the value is the value. However,
right, and you had risk in Bitcoin at one point. Now you have risk in Tern. But here's one cool thing, and this will eventually become expensive because of the nature of the economics of it. But today we offer 6.38% crypto back rewards. Okay, we think that's super amazing. So all you have to do is stake tokens. If you stake Tern tokens, you get 6.38 crypto back on everything you purchase. Now, those are your tokens. We don't, you know, you're just staking them. You can sell them if you want, and when you do, you won't get the crypto back rewards anymore. But the benefit is the more people staking, then it just means that it's creating scarcity.
That's a risk you're taking on your part, because like we can't say that here. We can say, yeah, we think you'll get some ROI if you hold. You're actually saying, no, you actually will get 6.3 ROI if you hold with us. So that's
on everything. On everything. It's not just for holding. It's I'm depositing. So what you're doing is you're saying, okay, I'm gonna stake my Tern, and now I've staked Tern, so I got my different 1%, 2%, 3%, all the way up to 6%. Now, everything I spend on anything, there is, you know, it's not like what I hate is card programs are like, oh, they're misleading. It's like, you know, cash back, but it's only cash back on these specific lines.
Yeah, you sound like a credit card company right now. I mean, but that's not a bad thing. You're like bona fide, but yeah, like go get cash back on buying gas at Maverick or whatever.
Yeah, and they have limited, but those things are usually limited, right? It's always like limited into certain things. And so we're saying is, look, you stake Stern. So, and that means today you're, you know, it's, we think it's cheaper today than it will be in the future to stake, but that's what changes the economics of it all. But from this point moving forward, now you're able to get your rewards crypto back. And then you get that crypto back and you can, that's free term. And we have people that are using it, and they're getting all their free turn, and all for what? All because they stake turn. They didn't cost them anything.
That's actually intriguing. I'm very intrigued now. You've piqued my interest, and I do want to look into that further. To answer Nellie P with the unicorn and Ashby. So for those of us who are not really necessarily going to stake it, we just want to go get a cup of coffee, and we just, you know, got 10 bucks on a post on Hive. Like I just blogged about my frog pond and everybody liked it. And I earned $10 worth of Hive. And now I want to go buy a cup of coffee.
Yep. Well, first thing, just so you know, it costs you $10 to buy the card, right? You got to maintain a minimum balance of $10 straight up. So 10 bucks there and $10 is sitting there. You're basically staking. Okay. Anything okay, beyond that, you're just spending at your own will.
Okay. So we have basically $100 sitting in my card account, but okay. I want to go buy a cup of coffee. When I swipe that card with Starbucks, what's happened? Is that going to be a 2% transaction fee or a $2 transaction fee?
Neither. Like you will, it's if you swipe your card, then let's say it's $5 at the Starbucks, then it costs you $5. And we take out $5 worth of turn in that moment, worth of the market price. The Starbucks gets $5 because that's what we sold on the market. And there we don't charge you additional fees for that.
Oh my gosh, I'm freaking out right now. That's so much fun. I love how you talk about it because that's what we sold on the market. It is a market exchange. It's an instantaneous, maybe algorithmed exchange. Yes.
Yeah, like, well, that's right. Like, okay, so here's what happens. This is why I think it's important to say, and that's why in the future, look, if Hive gets behind this, and we talked about this, like Little Tribe is the biggest fan of the community. If Hive gets behind it, we white label our tech, we can provide, and I'm not playing here. This is part of the conversation we'll get to. We could have a Hive-backed card. Right? But we have to know there's enough people behind it. And what that would mean is that now people are not spending turn like they are today with Block Card. They could actually have a dedicated Hive-backed card where everything converts into Hive. Like that legitimately could happen. But I'll say, and this is important for you to understand our like philosophy. As a startup, we went through, we still to this day, and I'm sure anyone who hears a developer has probably seen or heard this or knows this. It's really jacked up. If you think about these companies, what happened? Let's think about this for a second. I'm sorry if I'm hijacking. This is like an important issue.
Go ahead. You're fine.
Okay. So think about the process of ICOs. What happened? People are like, oh, we're going to do this something really amazing, right? We're building something. We're building something cool. So people put all this money into these ICOs, and they're hoping that these tokens will be worth something one day. So what are these tokens? They're like, well, I want to not only build something cool, but also then I have this constant pressure of people want to trade them. They spend all their money. This is what happened in 2018. Spend all their money on these freaking exchanges. So who got rich? Exchanges got rich.
Yeah.
You know, so exchanges, what exchanges do? Exchanges basically lied about their volume. They fake volume with these bot traffic. But who got, all that happened was it became.
I mean, wouldn't we call that a Ponzi scheme? Wouldn't that not be a Ponzi scheme?
It honestly felt like a Ponzi scheme. So we, in 2018, we're like, look, like, sorry, is it okay if I curse? Is that bad or no?
PG-13 or best, preferably.
So I'll hold back because I can't
because,
see how.
Only because we're recorded. Otherwise, I wouldn't care. But we do.
Yeah, I curse a lot. But I'll just say, I'll just say like, you know, screw you. Okay, like, we have people come to us exchanges say, oh, well, you know, you get listed on our exchange for $500,000. Meanwhile, what's happening is people with these companies that with big dreams and people behind them, and they're like, well, here's $500,000. They're giving away all the money they were basically entrusted with in order to get on the exchange with the hope that they could tap into this other new universe of people sell tokens to. And it was all this big mirage, right? So yeah, I would pay 25 cents per high for each word. I would do that.
The fact that you have someone like Visa basically backing you, to me, the SEC can do only so much regulating. But when a company is backing like that, that's almost better, in my opinion.
The SEC, here's the other cool part. We're an American company. And unlike companies that might have built, they're based out of they're based out of Malta. They're based out of Russia. They're based out of the Virgin Islands. We're Americans. We filed with the SEC. We filed with FinCEN. Like, if we ever did anything that was fraudulent, they could come after us in a very big way. We're not out of canaries, exactly. So what I would say is, like, here's why I got into that. Is we built something real. We decided we were going to focus on building a product and then building the actual community. And that takes a lot of time. And so here's why I said that. For Hive, we don't have any interest in saying, okay, little scribe, you'd like to, put the Hive token on the block card. You pay me $50,000, like one of these jerk exchanges.
Yeah.
That's their business model. Their entire business model
is
taking money from companies who have tokens. That's their business model. They have like users most of the time. They have they make tokens. We are not doing that.
Sorry to cut in. You kind of broke up there. What he was saying was that when we as Hive list on an exchange, their business model is literally built upon listing on the exchange. You've got to pay $100,000 just to get listed anywhere. And so what you're about to tell me is that you do not charge for a listing fee.
That's right. But that's exactly right. We will not do it because we think it's wrong. But we're saying, listen, if Hive wants to be part of this and you guys believe in BlockCard, then you're going to show that through real people. And that's where we go back to that referral link. We can start to track from your referral link. Not only are we going to give $10 to every person who signs up and deposits $100, we'll give you $10 for it. Beyond that, I want to know how many people in the Hive community are literally serious about it, how many people are not. And if there are enough people, if we have enough people who are legitimately behind it, then we'll do it because we see there's an opportunity for us to make money versus this opportunity for us to bring this whole new product to this whole new community. But we're not going to do it, spend all this time and money and resources and more people's time if there aren't enough people who say they really, really legitimately want to pay where their mouth is.
Yes. So let me just kind of reiterate what Daniel is talking about here. That was very well put. Thank you. And to just kind of speak to the people of this community, we have two things going on here, okay? For the United States, for those of you who are just tuning in, and I know Nellie P. kind of had a question about this. For those of you who in the United States, the block card is already functioning for residents and citizens of the United States. That is the only thing that Turnio, which is the company that block card belongs to, Turnio is only allowed to currently operate with this product in the United States. They are not approved anywhere else. Otherwise, this would be actually everywhere. We're sure of it. That being said, they're currently working on an option with a European bank. And I do want to know maybe what our viewers can do to help further that along if possible. But they're currently working on an option for those in Europe. So if you are listening and you want to use this card, it will benefit you to at least put the word out so that when the time comes, when it's available in Europe, it will be set up to do so. Currently, what we're trying to do is build a user base of Hive users to sign up with BlockCard and show interest because we're trying to get the Hive listed on your exchange. So we cannot very well expect Turnio to go to all the trouble of building this for us if there's just not enough interest. I mean, if there's 10 people, that's not good enough. So
that's exactly right.
As you love us, you have much better things to do in your life than build an entire exchange for 10 people. So if you want to build that exchange, it needs to be something that's going to show profitable for everyone. It can't just be like a free handout. Hey, can you put Hive on your exchange for us? So you guys, we do need to show our support for the product, because this is a mass. This isn't just for Hive. I mean, it's great because we can transfer Hive and then go buy a cup of coffee, like you said. But this is also great for furthering the cryptocurrency mass adoption, because we're essentially eliminating one of the biggest thorns in the side of cryptocurrency today, which is ease of use. And this is overcoming that hurdle. And as we said before, you were talking about how you can't get anywhere in this world without some KYC, some know your customer. You can't get anywhere without it. I mean, cryptocurrency is great, but if you want ease of use, you got to have the KYC. I'm sorry. It's just, unless you want to have everyone in the world being like, yeah, let's accept Bitcoin. This is the first step in that direction. So
I'll add one thing here. Just for those of you who are believers in Hive, all we want to know is there's people out there. And even if we're not in Australia yet, we're not live in Europe yet, but we will be. What I'll say is, if people sign up, even anywhere in the world, they can sign up using your link. Okay. And if they, even if they deposit a little bit, just $100, it shows interest. So I'm not saying they have to. I understand why they wouldn't want to today, because if they can't use it, I could understand it. But if they do, it's one more person showing legitimate interest, and that just gets added to the total.
So, exactly. That was good. I think that very well explained it. So like, even if you can't necessarily use it in Europe this hot second, what we're doing is we're trying to show interest from Hive as a garnering, like, unifying thing. So the more of us who register for an account and put in a couple of bucks of your crypto, whatever couple of bucks means for you, some of that means a couple hundred, some of it means 20. You put a little bit of crypto in there, and that will increase the value of Tern, and it will increase Tern's ability to build an exchange for Hive. This is huge.
That's right.
I'm convinced it's going to happen. I really have no doubt. I know this is going to happen. It's just going to be one of those kind of getting it out there things. I know that Hive.io has shown interest in this exchange and are really looking forward to seeing how this is going. So guys, let's get signed up on that. I don't get paid. I am not getting paid by Tern. This is not me getting sponsored to say this crap. Like, it's not how it is. Maybe we should do that and then I'll talk more. But I just kind of think it's cool. You guys know me. I'm always going to be enthusiastic when something cool comes down the pipe. This is just one of those cool things. I actually had a couple of questions about the Google Pay, the Apple Pay, and the retail locations. I'm a little bit flip-flopped on that. What's going on with, like, doing a money transfer? You've got, let me list the names, okay? It shows 7-Eleven, CVS Pharmacy, Walmart, Walgreens, MoneyGram, and Western Union. These are places I would go to do an international transfer of money. Tell me more about that, why that's listed.
So I just placed in the chat a video of, there's multiple parts to your question. So we have this one video where you show me walking into Walmart. I give Walmart cash. They charge me $5. It's instantly put into my Block Card account. I give them my card. And then I can send that digital money, which could be Hive. It could literally be buy order. So imagine this. Imagine a world where a Hive card comes out. And presently, it's Tern, obviously. But you go into Walmart, you get $500, it converts into Hive instantly. You send it anywhere in the world, okay? If we offer a card in that country, then that money is directly connected, that Hive money would be directly connected to the card wherever they are if we have a card in that region. Now, right now, obviously, let's just say the U.S. So I sent money to somebody in Charlotte. So within a matter of, the whole video happened in 10 minutes, I literally walked into Walmart, gave him cash, sent it to Ian. Ian got it in his account instantly, went into an ATM and withdrew the money in cash instantly. That's exactly, like, that's amazing stuff. Now, that's not Google Pay, that's not Apple Pay, that's a separate thing. One is all these different locations, Walmart, CVS, Walgreens, Western Union, where you could walk in, hand cash with your card, and instantly have it moved into your account. That's part one. Part two is connecting, if you, let's say, connecting your virtual card to your wallet, your Apple wallet or your Google Pay wallet. So I can, within a matter of 5 minutes, if I've never used a block card before, sign up, I do my eKYC, I fund it with crypto, it's instantly accessible on my phone. I have a Visa card on my phone that I plug that number into my Apple Pay and I'm paying at Starbucks in a matter of literally 5 minutes from start to finish. We think no one else in the world presently does that. We're very proud of it.
I'd be very proud of that too. Let's back up a second. So the difference I'm thinking, the difference between, say, that point of purchase location like Walmart or MoneyGram is that I'm actually putting I'm giving that person cash, or I'm like,
yeah, you go to MoneyGram and you give them cash. Yeah. And then that money is digitized instantly to your block card account. That is literally a buy order of the cryptocurrency. So on the block card, we're giving them, hey, well, here's your turn. And on a Hive card, it would be, here's your Hive.
Wow. So if I have like family down in Mexico, I can put money on the card and then it sends it to them if they have a card.
Yeah. Now here's the problem. This is what we think the future is, remittances. Like Mexico is a great example. So we're talking about Challenger Bank out of Mexico that has a MasterCard solution. And they're once again, they're the bank. So they're the one that has the rights to the, issuing in that country. So, and I'm from Texas, so I know all about, you know, Texas, Mexican remittance. So we send money from the U.S., you send it directly on a blockchain rail. It could be Hive, it could be, you know, Turn, whatever it is. It should be, if done properly, something that doesn't have gas fees, something that's fast. Because if you're doing gas fees, we all know the challenges with gas, right? So I'm sending this money now, this crypto, on a blockchain rail. They get it instantly. They have an account. They can sign up within 5 minutes in Mexico. They'll get a virtual card, a MasterCard in Mexico, and now all of a sudden they can spend it anywhere. Now today, what happens? I have this sounds horrible, but I have a nanny. Her name is Maria. She's from Mexico because I work. My wife works, so luckily we have somebody to help us with our kids. Our two amazingly challenging kids. So what Maria does is she uses this app that's owned by PayPal. She deposits money from her bank account and then she sends it through this app. What happens on the back end is she pays $5 per transaction. We don't pay per transaction. So they pay $5 per transaction. The money goes to a bank. Then her family has to go physically walk in Mexico when it's not safe, or it's very convenient, and they go and pick the money at the bank. We don't do that. We send it directly to their phone, where and they basically can start spending anywhere that their, you know, their card is accepted. And then they'll physically get a card in the mail in, you know, a week.
So this sounds really Venmo-esque. I mean,
well, Venmo, okay, no, Venmo is a good example. Here's the problem with Venmo. Okay, so let's say I send you money right now on Venmo. Okay, I send it to you. What are you going to do with it right now?
Right, so I'd have to deposit it to my bank.
That's right. So all that's happening is that Venmo, but what's happening with Venmo is not actually sending the money anywhere. Venmo is keeping the money the whole time and saying, okay, well, now person A is no longer has rights to the money person B does. But meanwhile, Venmo has all the money. Yes. And person B says, okay, I want to withdraw this money. Then they decide to wait on it. So 3 days later, 5 days later, whatever it takes, you can't actually do anything.
Yeah.
But with us, we say, here, spend it right now. You got a card instantly. You can spend it right now.
And it doesn't have to go to a bank first. It just goes to wherever you go, the point of purchase.
Yeah, we do all the bank stuff on the back end. So when you're getting a card, you're still going through a bank process, but doing it in a way that is just really user-friendly.
Seamless.
Like a challenge. It's the seamless process. So there is a bank involved, but we don't want you to have to go through all the grind of going with the bank. That's what we think we bring to the table.
And just to make sure, I mean, I'm really picking you apart here. So if I go and purchase, or rather I sell or put, I deposit some Ethereum onto my block card, we know that those transactions are going to take a couple of days sometimes, but for me on my end, you guys are just going to transact right away.
Well, that's right. But I got to also say, I just noticed in the comments, Jack Miller, I'm so impressed because Jack went to Sam Houghton in Houston, and I am from Houston, and I have been to multiple Sam's Boat, so I know all about Sam's Boat, and I think that's super cool. So here's to you, Jack. But yeah, go ahead. You were saying.
Oh, that's awesome. Wow. So you guys are the ones taking the risk and the brunt on that. You're taking my Ethereum, and then you're turning around and forwarding me the money, even though my Ethereum hasn't essentially been sold yet.
Well, yeah, but we know the value. We know the value. That's why. That's one of the reasons why.
Still, you're taking on that risk. I'm getting it right away. I don't have to wait for Ethereum to give it to my bank in 5 days. I get it. If I give it to you, you give it to me in 2 seconds.
Well, that's right. But we don't really feel like we're taking risk. First of all, remember, we're making you hold $10 minimum balance, right?
Yeah.
So that's covers our risk. That $10 is not, screw people. It's just because we want to minimize any risk we might have. Yeah. We'll say, okay, there's a transaction. We know what the spot price on Ethereum is. And that moment you swipe the card, then we sell the crypto. It can vary by a little bit. It's not going to vary by that much.
So, okay. And so what I wanted to do was I wanted to just take a quick little differentiation between the fact that when you open a card, when you open a block card account, you can transfer crypto and have that transaction point at the coffee shop right away. But what we were talking about with CVS, pharmacy, Walgreens, MoneyGram, that's a little different. It's just a money transfer that you actually deposit actual fiat money into. I mean, you can do cryptocurrency as well. But what you're saying is you can go to Walmart and be like, here, I'm going to put $50 on this card and it will instantly transfer to a friend. So that was the difference there. And then with the Google Pay and the Apple Pay, that one was nuanced because I didn't catch that.
Well, here's why I'm a big fan of the Apple Pay, Google Pay. So, going back to your first question about the money, we basically make Walmart a 24-hour bank. So anybody, there's certain businesses that are cash businesses, right? Whether it be somebody who, this is a horrible example. Let's say they're an exotic dancer. That's a cash business. Let's say they're a taxi cab driver or a waitress, or let's say that, they work in a, they're a contractor and they go and do a bunch of cash work because they're going and cleaning people's yards or something. There's certain cash businesses, right? So now they can walk into Walmart, make Walmart 24-hour bank, put $1,000 on their account, and instantly get into digital money right now. And then they can, if they wanted to, they could convert from churn, they could buy Bitcoin if they wanted to, they could send it to a friend.
Wow. Okay.
So that's one. Number two is the Google Pay Apple Pay. So here's why we think that's so important. If you've never signed up a block card, right, which a lot of people here obviously haven't, so you sign up, it's a 5-minute process because you're depositing crypto, you have access to a virtual card on your phone. Now, if let's say you just sign up right now, you go through the EKYC process, everything is smooth, everything works out exactly as it's supposed to. You don't have to go through a manual, anything, everything's good. Okay, great. But now it's like, well, I see my Visa card, but what are you going to do with that? Well, you can buy some stuff online, but it's like, well, I'm not going to go to the restaurant and purchase with my virtual card on my phone. They're probably not going to, it'll be weird. So if you connect to Google Pay, Apple Pay, more and more and more places are accepting that now. So instantly, within a matter of 5 minutes, everything from signing up to depositing to KYC, you literally type in your virtual card number into your Apple Pay. You're paying with your phone. And then the physical cards will arrive in the mail in a week. But then at least you've been able to use it somewhere in a physical location for the first week. And on the metal comments, we're working really hard on the metal. The metal's not out yet. Just so you know, we're working really hard on it. But we have a manufacturer.
I think Frankie just died when you said that.
Here's why. So it's such a big deal. There's a lot of rules around what you can and can't do with a Visa or MasterCard. And they have these cards that they say they're metal, but they're really not metal. You didn't want to put out a crappy card. And because it's a prepaid card, they won't let us do certain cards that are credit cards. And there's one, there's basically one company that owns the patent on the cards we can use with Visa. We've got a relationship with that one company now, but it's taken a long time and a long process to get it, but we're working on it.
It's so funny, all the little funny like hoops you have to jump through, isn't it? Isn't it so funny?
It's a lot. Well, it's not funny when you're living it.
And no, you have, it's not. It's like we have this plan, and then someone has a patent.
Hard, man. You know, we want it so bad.
I know. And it's like you have this plan, and then someone has a patent or someone has a regulation, and you're like, why?
What it is because Visa has specific rules. So, like, we'll say, well, we found a manufacturer, and they meet these rules. And they're like, well, you can't do this with the Visa logo because this, and this. We're like, great. Basically, we found the one accepted manufacturer of metal cards for a prepaid card, and we are working through that right now.
So while we kind of get close to the end of the show, for those of you who might have just come in a little bit later, what can we do to, number one, encourage the, what can we do to support Turnio or whatever? What's the name of it? Turn is the name of the coin and Turnio is the name of the company, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So what can we do to support Turnio and building, or rather bringing Hive to your blockchain to your exchange so that we can now have Hive as our crypto of choice, a Hive card, as it were? And just as a reminder, maybe what would you give people out there to say?
I see the comments. Well, first of all, I've really enjoyed this. I enjoyed the conversation. Here's what we expect. Okay, we're not trying to charge people, trying to charge for a listing fee, like I said. We're trying to just get real people who want to show interest. And our standard is this. It's very simple. You get, and this might sound like a lot, I don't know, but this is what it takes. You get 1,000 real people using your referral link, so I know they came from Hive, 1,000 people who sign up for a card. That means they had to deposit $10. So that literally is 1,000 times $10 is $10,000 of value put on cards through 1,000 people. That shows me there's a legitimate commitment from the Hive community. Here's what we'll do. It means we'll accept the Hive blockchain, and we can work with you on accepting Hive as a depository mechanism. We can actually work towards the future if there's enough use of it where we can have even a Hive card. But right now we're focused on how do we get Hive accepted on the block card. That's what it would take.
Perfect. So if there's any of you in the listenership today who can I think all of you could register, but if you for some reason are having qualms about it, whether preferentially or logistically speaking, if you can share it with those who you know would be interested in this product, let them know that all we need is 1,000 viable active users who can deposit a little bit of money on this block card account, and that will get us a ticket. You guys, it is that easy. Like, it is that easy. 1,000 people is like nothing. So spread the word. Set up a Hive account and help promote. Not a bad idea. Nods. Not a bad idea. So I've made a couple of posts, but guys, take whatever, if you want to duplicate what I say in my post, I do not care. I am not going to consider it plagiaristic. I just pulled from Block Cards Info. So can we have permission to use the images on assets and images?
Absolutely. I'll confirm. Like, I really respect when you have people in the community who've got a vision for the future, right? And you're starting from something where you're starting from an idea, and that idea becomes something a little bit more real, and then it becomes something really big. And that happens when you have a bunch of people behind you. And so I love that. I'm like a big fan of that. And so when Little Shrek came to me and said, "Listen, like, this is something that we really want to do." Everything she's doing is literally 100% because she's trying to promote Hive. And I respect that so much. So, and I see the enthusiasm here. It's just going to take the community kind of rounding about together. And if you have enough people together that are in the same community that are saying, fuck it. Well, I say I can't do that. Sorry. We're going to make this happen. We're going to make this happen. We're going to do it with or without the rest of the world. We're doing it. And I think that That's what it takes. And so I respect that because I know what we feel like in our side with you know, the community. And I'm seeing a lot of excitement from you guys. So that makes me like amped up.
Yeah. And the cool thing about this little tightly packed, tightly knit room in here is we all have some outreach. We all have some reach. So this will spread. It will go wild. It will go crazy. It'll go nuts. The other cool thing here is you guys, if you're interested in getting involved with this product or with the company, I don't know what actual paid opportunities are available, but you do have at least someone they can contact if they're interested in either dev opportunities. I imagine it would be just like any other company where you would submit a resume or do an internship. I mean, not everybody's going to get accepted. You're going to have to be whatever any company risk wants to take on. But if you are interested in any opportunities, I do like to put that out there. And I'm sorry to put you on the spot for that, but I do feel like this is one of those things that we are enthusiastic about. So if you want to help out, it is Anne at, what was it again?
It's A-N-N-E at Turnio.io. We are hiring for some developers right now. There you go. Littlescribe got it. And, you know, we are hiring because we have a lot of work that we're doing. And the thing is, most of our team is mostly developers. We do have a few people doing specialized tasks for marketing and that kind of stuff. But to be honest, most of what we're doing is focusing around building new technology, new products, reaching new regions. Like that's we're already connecting four different banks. And this is the beginning of the future. Like we think there will be, and it's all said and done, you know, we're in like the first inning of a 9-inning game, but we think we're gonna be connected to, it wouldn't be unreasonable, 100 banks across the world gave us access to all these different places.
And just think, you guys, it all started right here-ish, sort of. You guys are gonna be a part of that. It's gonna be great. So whatever you do to promote and forward the cause, it's gonna be so awesome. Make sure to either make your own post about this, or if you're not feeling like you want to put the time into it, just reblog the one that I did or copy and paste what I have and put it out there. I do not care. It does not matter to me. Just get the word out, share it up to the moon. And we'll have you back again, Daniel. We'll have you back again. Maybe when we have a little more footing and we can see kind of how far we've come. If we're slow, then we'll talk about why. If we're fast, then we'll talk about what we need to do to get to over that last hump. So we'll keep in touch.
Definitely.
We will keep in touch. Any last quick questions? I'm just kind of reading over last quick questions, and then I think we're going to call it a wrap. Again, if you guys want to get involved, you can either help with the dev. That's Anne at Turnio.io. They are accepting applications for a couple of more devs for that position. If you would like to simply register for the product, that would probably be the most helpful thing you can do, is register for the product, deposit the bare minimum at least, which is $10 in USD. And I honestly recommend you just kind of pull a little bit from Hive. You can't do that. Convert it to like Bitcoin or Ethereum and then pull it in. You can do that. Register for an account, and that link is, I just dropped it again. Use that link, you guys. Use the Little Scribe promotion code, because that is how Turnio knows who we are. Because if you just go onto their main page and log in, they're not going to know that you're from Hive. So do it from that promo code so they know how many people are interested. And then we can eventually and very hopefully very soon get listed on their exchange. Okay? Are we all clear? Clear as a bell? All right. Thank you. Thank you, Daniel Goldman, the CEO and founder of Turnio, who is in charge and responsible for this product. We're super, super excited. Let's keep in touch. And you guys, thanks again for showing up. We love you all on the Crypto Queen Show. Be sure to come here next time. Same place, same time. That is 2 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. I always have a countdown so you can apply it to your own time zone. And we have something in store for you next week. It's going to be amazing. And that is a peace out to you all. Thanks again.
Bye, guys.